Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders. They'll share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun, from elite runners to weekend warriors. Find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
The goal is just to get these things done, but they're so big and I'm so scared. I scare myself. I choose something big enough to be scared. So I train a lot just to make sure I succeed and I pass the line. When I'm in the trail, I'm competitive. Not with other people, but with myself. And if I find myself that I'm too slow or I'm falling or leaning into the dark side, I'm going to push myself to be back on track, positive and powerful.
On this episode of The Rundown, I spoke with Anne Bouchard, one of the best ultra trail runners in the province. At a young age, Anne enjoyed rock climbing as a great way to explore nature. She went on to build her career as a chartered accountant, started a family, and discovered a love for running that has set her down an incredible path. Her resume is impressive, finishing top 30 at the Ultra Trail du Mont Blanc and winning the Bromo Ultra 160 in 2017. She's accomplished a lot in 6 years at the sport, and it sounds like she's just getting started. Are you already subscribed to The Rundown? Running with WRG and still can't get enough? Sign up to their weekly newsletter and always stay connected. You can learn more about what's happening in the community, hear about exclusive run events, and stay up to date with the podcast. Just go to iamarunner.ca and subscribe. Simple as that. You'll never miss a beat. In this week's news, I'd like to draw your attention to someplace a little warmer. If you're looking for extra training motivation, I think I found it. This may be the coolest 5K race in the history of 5K races. On May 4th, in College Station, Texas, there will be an attempt to break the world record for the number of people dressed like Chuck Norris in the same place at the same time. You'll get an awesome Chuck Norris race kit, and there will be prizes for the best male, female, and kid Chuck Norris costume. A couple of weeks ago, Montreal's very own Melanie Miran won the Fitbit Miami Half Marathon with a time of 1 hour, 19 minutes, and 12 seconds. This win follows an excellent finish in 2018, having ran a personal best of 2 hours, 34 minutes at the Chicago Marathon and getting her 9th place among female runners. Hopefully, she'll join us on the show soon to share her experience. Make sure to check out the show notes for links and more information. That's all for now. Gotta run. She's a mother of two, a chartered accountant, and also happens to be one of the best ultra trail runners in Quebec. I'd like to welcome to the show, Anne Bouchard. Thanks for coming into The Rundown.
Thanks to you.
You're welcome. Yeah, I think we met, it was only a few weeks ago, I feel. I was running with a group on Mount Royal, and my friend Martin St. Pierre pointed you out on the mountain near the top. And I asked him who you were, and he's like, Anne Bouchard. And I'm like, who's Anne Bouchard? And he said, well, she's one of the best trail runners in Quebec. You know, maybe you should have her on the show. So that's kind of how how things happened there.
Yeah. And that Sunday we met Martin and I. We shared, he's a really good guy. I like to share energy with him, especially running. I think he's so dynamic and he's always positive, and I really enjoy that person into the running world.
And where did you guys meet?
I'm not sure where we met. Oh yeah, I remember. Actually, we went for a training in the Laurentides up north, and he was part of the training, and that was, he came in my car, and that's it. That's how we met.
Awesome. Yeah, and then I ended up seeing you at the bottom of the mountain at the end of my run, and I kind of said, like, hey, you're friends with Marty, and you're like, who's Marty? That's awesome. So, yeah, but happy to have you in today, and that's really awesome. And I guess you were doing some training for some upcoming stuff.
I have, I'm going to be part of the Pandora Minus 24 in 2 weeks, I guess. and that's it. So I'm building up a little bit for that race, which will be a 6 hours race in the winter. So it's 6 hours at that temperature. It's quite demanding.
And where will that one be taking place?
It's in Prévost, actually. It's okay. Where I met Martin for the first time.
Oddly enough.
The same place.
Small world.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So were you always this way? Like how were you growing up as a kid? Were you athletic?
I'm a little older than the rest of the people that are trail runners. So that's why I'm going to say back into my little time, or kids of my generation, we used to play outside so much, like biking and like running everywhere, building a house in the woods. So we were playing outside so much. I wasn't more athletic than anybody else, but I used to I've been active my whole life.
That's awesome.
That's it.
And it's like running as a kid, but when was your first like running experience? Like,
well, I started running when I'm an ocean lifeguard. When I went back in the time when I was at university, I used to be a lifeguard. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up in Cape Hatteras for my ocean lifeguard training. And then I started to run there. But I've never liked it so much because it was hard, you know, you're kind of suffering breathing, and I didn't like it really.
That's crazy. And now?
Well, now it's different because I run free, as I say. I'm in the forest, you go up the mountain, you go down, you just take a break, and it's really enjoyable. It's a different story.
It's really nice to be in the woods and nature. And
it has become my meditation, indeed. I train 6 days a week. And at the beginning, on the Monday, I don't train. I stretch and I recover. And so the Mondays were like, oh, yes, a day off. And now the Mondays are, it sucks. Because I don't have that adrenaline to go through my day, and I feel that I'm not productive because I didn't run and I'm slow, and so I'm missing my running. Mm-hmm. So I try to focus on recovering, but still running is missing me.
Right. And if you're doing it like 6 days a week, it's like it just becomes habitual almost where...
Well, as you go the distance, like I'm running long distances, so you... At first, I was like only training 4 days and then 5 days and then 6 days. And then as the challenges are bigger and bigger, then I'm even training twice a day in my volume period before the big project of the year. So, well, if you want to do well, you don't have choice. You have to increase the volume of the training.
Exactly. Yeah. So when you talk about long distances, what kind of distances are you doing now?
I'm doing mostly, like, my challenge are 160 kilometers, like 100 miles, commonly named. But I also do 50 miles. So I go back and forth. I choose smaller races to train for bigger races. But the main races are 100 miles.
That's crazy. Was it always this way, or like how did the progression look for you? Like, I think
not
you mentioned
at all.
How long have you been running for? And
I've been running since 6 seasons of running, and no, at the beginning, like 50 miles. When I got to 50 miles, I was like more than happy, and I told myself, "This is it. I'm a 50 miler, and I like that distance, because you start in the morning and at the end of the day it's finished, it's done, you're happy, you have seen the arrival, and it's nice." And then, but I wanted to do the CCC, which is 100 kilometers course path at an event in Europe called UTMB.
Okay.
It's one of the most amazing race in the world. So I ended up there. And when I've done the CCC, I told publicly I will do the full UTMB, which is 171 kilometers. But to get there, I had no choice. You need to gather points and qualify for that. So I needed to go into the 100 miles, the 160K. And that's where That's why I went.
That's crazy. And was that early on that you had that goal? Like, I'm just curious where the drive to start running began.
I was pregnant of my second child, my daughter, and then I wanted to, I'm a rock climber, and I was missing my mountains. And instead of climbing them, I told myself I'm going to run them. And I had seen that funny articles in La Presse, in the newspaper. And it was about like funny marathons or the most amazing marathons in the world. And then I've seen the Everest marathons. And then I started to go on the web and look, and then I discovered trails. And I told myself, I'm going to do trails. And yeah, I ended up in the trails.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And just keep like one after another. Just how many races would you start? Like, did you start doing in your first year, let's say? Or
first year, I've done two races. So the first race was 38 kilometers, the hardest race I've ever done my whole life. I wasn't trained for that, and it's been a lot of suffering. And then I've decided after that trail, I decided, okay, if I want to do trail running, I need to train for trails. And then I ended up at the end of the season in Vermont for 50K, sorry. And then...
The Vermont 50?
Yeah.
I've heard that one.
Yeah, and it's been a good race for me because it's like reconciling my goal with my physical state, kind of. And then I said, okay, now I really want to do ultra, like more than 50. And then I've trained, and that's it. I wasn't training in the winter at that time. I was only training starting in spring. Yeah.
And did you... begin to create your own running programs? Like, how are you going about learning how to train for these longer distances?
I've been lucky enough to meet Hélène Dumais, which is a really good ultra runner. I would say like adventurer even. She's doing crazy adventure all around the world. And so she started to coach me until 50 miles. Yeah. So she learned to me how to train for trails. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because I don't know anything about that physical training. And as you said, I'm a chartered accountant. I will not pretend to have any experience or knowledge now I know how to train. Of course, after 6 years, you figure it out. It's mostly the same thing every year. You build up speed, volume, endurance, and everything. But at the beginning, Hélène was nice enough to train me.
Was there anything in particular that you can share that really makes a difference between like before and after her?
Hélène has her specific way of training, and she's really respectful and everything. So I was a tough cookie, kind of. Didn't want to do intervals. Didn't want to have any cardio reference or speed or no watch. I just really want to train with my feeling, and she really respected that. And I really, so she gave me a lot of volume and like low intensity, and I needed to build that anyway for long distances. So to get to those long distances, like she gave me all the tools for that.
Okay, cool. And I'm sure she was able to share some experiences too with you to help you along that path, because I feel like with trail running, when you're doing over, you know, these 80Ks, 100Ks, like how much mileage can you possibly get up to in a week?
I've done more than, like, she has her philosophy, and then I have mine. I've built up mine. Mm-hmm. Like me, you can easily do 100 miles with 10 hours of training. But if you want to really do well, you have no choice but to run a lot more than 10 hours. Like I've been last year for the full UTMB, I was training 16 to 18 hours a week. But because you're doing trails, you don't really, you train in hours, not in kilometers. So it's really hours.
Like time on your feet is really
the It's time on your feet.
Important.
Yeah.
And how do you work the mental aspect? Because I mean, you're out there for, how did that race go for you?
The UTMB?
The full,
oh, wow.
And you performed well. I've looked it up and...
Yeah, it's the best performance a woman has done at the UTMB for Quebec. But how I've met another physical, a kinesiologue, and he was like working on my mental because it's really something different. You get, when you run, it's physical. But when you do these long distances, inevitably you get to the mental. And at the end of the day, your body is totally broken. And the only way you can go forward and still continue to run, it's your mental that gives the order to your body, run. So you need to be really focused. And Gabriel, that guy, he worked with me. We looked at the course path, and depending on the time of the day, is it the night, then like the early evening, the sun rises, or all the different state of the day affect your mental. And we went through that, and we made a plan for my mental. And that was awesome because it's funny, if you plan your mental, you always follow it too. And then the body follows.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? plan your mental. What does it mean?
Well, for me, it's taking my course path and saying, okay, the first until that moment, okay, that aid station will be, let's say it's after 50K. It's going to be in the middle of the night. It's going to call Never Give Up. And then, so I focus on, I need to get to the Never Give Up aid station. And then, for example, I always fix the Carpe Diem, which is like taking the days for you. So I fixed the Carpe Diem moment, and at the UTMB, it was like in Italy, in Courmayeur, and the descent to get there is just terrific. And then I saw the sun rising in the mountain, and then like, yes, I got my Carpe Diem. And I was like blasted. I had my night. I was like, I couldn't wait to be there, but I was so focused on my Carpe Diem moment that I got there on time. And then I had another moment for lunch and another moment for supper. And then you go like this and you just focus on that moment. You fix a moment and you run for it.
Yeah, because for those that don't know, these races, it was how many? 170?
Yeah, 171K. Yeah.
And how many hours does that take?
I've been running for 34 hours.
So over a full day you've been running?
Yeah.
You better have something to think about.
Yeah. And not too much.
Because
you don't want to go in the dark side, you know, because we all have I call it the Darth Vader side. Yeah. You don't want to go there.
Right.
Yeah.
And did you face, what challenges did you face that during those 34 hours?
Well, specifically this year, this edition of the UTMB, it was the cold. So there has been over 700 of abandon. People gave up because of the cold. Most of the elite quit the race.
That's what I had read as well.
Yeah. So that was really hard to manage because it was raining and it was really windy. And I was wearing my entire equipment on me the whole time. Yeah.
And this race, it spans over Europe. It's Italy.
It starts in France. You go over in Italy, you cross Swiss, and you come back to France. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's the most beautiful race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just take mental photographs like as you go along kind of thing.
Yeah. And then sometimes people say, oh, you're going to see there before going in Italy, there's a lake on top of the mountain. And then I knew I was there at the lake where it was supposed to be so beautiful, but I was going fast and it was dark. So I was like, where's the lake? And then my little voice said, well, you're too fast. Forget the lake.
Which is a good problem.
Which is a good thing, yeah, you know? Yeah. So you get satisfied by small things like that.
Yeah, the little wins along the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're having fun doing it. And
oh, yeah, I sing and yeah, I'm having a good imagination, yeah.
Right. And has that, over the 6 years that you've been running, what's been the biggest change from when you started to now?
I would say it's the mental state or the attitude. As I said, my first race has been terrible. I was like suffering, and I was even telling myself that giving birth was easier than doing those races. And then you go further, you add kilometers and you're doing like bigger races, but still you will always feel that pain because it's painful, and you have to choose the attitude in when you're facing that pain. Either you choose that the pain will stop you, either you choose that you're not destroying yourself. Really, you're just challenging yourself.
Yeah, it's really impressive. I can't even think about, I haven't done more than 65, and these distances that you're doing is just...
Well, but you've done a 65 really hard.
Yeah.
Like you can look at, you can run out of your patient in that 65, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah.
Since you started, like you definitely started later in life than most people. What type of impact has running had on your life, would you say?
But you know, it's easier to run at an early stage of your life because you have less obligation. I mean, you're probably at the beginning of your professional career. You have no kids. You're free, mostly. Me, I've started to do those races and to train for these long distances with all those obligations. So I'm at that peak in my professional career. I have two young kids. I need to take care of a family. But I also want to have something for me, because I've seen so many mothers that they're giving everything to their kids, and then when kids leave home, there's nothing else left. I'm still a person. I'm still a human that needs to be to create things for myself. Yeah,
that's nuts. I mean, I think it's really I commend you for that. I mean, you're training so much. You work full time. You have two kids. Like, how do you manage everything?
Well,
together.
Well,
I find like time management is...
Management is really tough, but you have to be creative and you have to think in terms of energy and synergy. Sometimes you're losing the battle and you have to accept it. At the beginning, when I was like putting more training in my schedule, I was always struggling with all the obligation, and then you train more, you have less energy, you have less patience, and then you have to give yourself a chance to accommodate that whole thing together, and then as you go, you know the recipe, you learn the recipe. And even though now I have a recipe for winter, and then when spring will come, I have another recipe, and then In the summer, I'm free. I do all the running that I want because kids have no activities. They're chilling. They're relaxed. No homework. No lunchbox to do. So it's easy in the summer. So I switch and I adapt by season. Like winter is really tough, I would say, because of the weather. And my kids have a lot of activities and the family activities and the family time. And you want to build yourself. You want to build your relationship with your husband. You want to build the family. You want to build everything, but it takes time. Mm-hmm. And then you create funny things. Like homework is a good moment at home now. It's not, if you have the attitude that it's an obligation and it has to be done and we have to get rid of it, well, you can do it like this. Me, I have a lack of time. I have no room for necessarily to create all these family activities. So I create activities out of obligation, like homeworks. Mm. And it's fun. My kids are are laughing and having a good time. Hey. My turn, mommy, my turn. I want to do the verbs.
Well, if they're liking the education and school and homework and stuff, it's like so much easier for you at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just well, make it fun. And when you create a good moment, well, it's funny how it gives you back energy. Instead of you go into some task and it's like, oh, I have to do this. I have to get rid of this. Well, you're spending energy into it.
Mm-hmm. And do you bring them with you on your races and stuff like that? Do you make that a family?
Yes, we make some family happening out of it. Not all of them. Like at the UTMB, you have to be really zen and focus. And I have why kids, as I say. So why, mommy, why? So you are mentally blasted at the end of the day. Even sometimes I ask a question or I make special requests for 5 minutes of silence. But they're fun kids. So I bring them in races where I know that I don't have to be really mentally fresh so that it's easy. And they really like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Really cool. I wanted to ask you, what's the thing that you've done that you've never thought you could ever do?
Well, 100 miles would be a good thing. Yeah.
Okay.
I would never thought of that.
And yeah. where was that race?
That it's the but the first 100 miles was the Bromont Ultra.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the 160K?
Yeah, the okay. 160.
And that's the one you won?
I won, yeah.
Okay. That's the first one you did?
It's the first one I did. It's the first one I won, and I still have the course bat records.
Incredible. So what was that experience like? Was it the first time you won? It was the first time you won that distance or the first time you won a race?
No, I've won many races before that race, but it's the first time I won 160K. Yeah.
Cool. And what was that experience like for you?
It was like, you know, you go through happiness, you go through sadness, you go through a lot of things when you do those distance. Sometimes it feels good. You feel like the king of the mountain. And then when you crashes or in the night is really hard. And it was the first night I was running entirely. It's been a rough night. I have to admit it. And that's a funny story because it was I would say 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, I can't move anymore. I was at the aid station, and I was like, I can't move anymore. And then one of my friends, the race director of the first race I've done, the race that I, the 38K that I spoke before, just before, the race director became my friend. And he came at that aid station of the Bromont Ultra, and he brought me a breakfast, like Tim Horton breakfast. I never have that my whole life. So he brought me that with orange juice and everything, and it's been the best moment that I had in my race. And then he said, I have to go back to work, but you will be at the arrival very soon. And I told myself, there's no way I can stop. He brought me breakfast, like he drove 100 kilometers to bring me breakfast. I need to move on. And then my boyfriend was there, and he looked at his phone, and he said, well, the second girl is not too far. You're going to have to run. She's, how much time do I have? Well, not too much time. And I was so scared that I ran, and I was constantly looking in my back. Am I alone? And then Hélène, my coach, was there, and she said, come on, there's nobody behind. You can do it. And they kept me in that feeling until the arrival. And then, but the second girls was 7 hours behind me. But I was like, it pushes me, and it worked.
They played with your mental a little
bit.
Yeah,
that's it.
It didn't hurt you, clearly.
No. I just kept running.
They knew you could do it.
Yeah.
That's insane. So 7 hours behind. So yeah. She wasn't, in fact, she wasn't very, very close at all.
No, not at all. But I kept looking in my bag.
Yeah. And how much did you beat the course record by? What was your time?
That's the thing. I don't know my time.
All you know is that it's the best standing time.
Because I was at the Bromont Ultra cette année, this year too. And people tell me, your course, you still have your course bad. Okay, records. Okay. And that's fine. I don't look at that. I don't remember my time. I don't compare my time. I don't analyze anything. It's not the purpose of all this.
So what's the purpose?
It's pilling yourself and discover who you are. Mm-hmm. In fact, yeah, you're opening doors in your mind when you push yourself. When if you want to push your, it's using your spirit, your mantle, to push your body. But if you want to do it, you need to open doors in your mind. You need to. All the barriers, and you have to be without boundaries. Mm. Yeah. And that you became more light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always find it interesting to ask, like, what drives you?
Yeah.
To keep doing it, and what keeps you moving forward?
Well, we often read in the articles that it creates a better person out of yourself, because things are, if you want to achieve your goal, well, you have to let go of more useless things, I would say. Like, I have no time to watch TV.
Not necessarily a bad thing.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing, yeah. I don't really have time to watch the news either. But when I get to the office in the morning, I ask my colleagues, so what's in the news today? And then we get nice conversation, and it keeps me updated. And then, so I let go of things. It's helpful to have the news, of course, but I create communication with my colleagues, and then I change the way I do things. And then, well, TV, it's welcome that I don't watch TV, yeah. But my Facebook is old also. I don't keep it updated, mm-hmm. And yeah. But I'm always in the present moment, and that's fine, you know.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
And how do you recover? How do you relax? What's your, when you're not training, when you're not taking care of your kids or doing family things?
Well, I don't know that type of relaxation, because I don't come from Montreal, and my husband either. So we have our kids 24 hours, 7 days, the entire year. Mm-hmm. So relaxing for me is relaxing with my kids. They're part of my relaxation. Recovering from the race is the hardest thing, I would say, because like compared to the elite athletes, they come back home and I guess the only thing they have to do is to go to the grocery store and get some good food and cook and sleep, and it's fun. Me, when I get home, my kids are looking for me, mom, mom, mom. And then I have like 200 emails at work and tons of communication from school and this to take care of and registration and this, you have to make a check for this and that. And so time that I have to recuperate and recover from these races is a little longer than the other athletes.
Than normal, because you don't take the time needed necessarily, because you have to keep moving.
You have to keep moving. Like your days are still packed, you know. The only change is I can, because I train in the morning at 4 o'clock. I wake up at 4 o'clock. It's the only time I have. So now I try to sleep. But again, my metabolism is so used to it that I wake up 4:30. My eyes are open and I have to focus if I want to sleep longer.
No alarm.
No alarm.
Just natural.
Naturally. I still put the alarm, but I wake up like 2 minutes before. It's crazy.
It's a mental clock, right?
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Today, what's your biggest accomplishment?
Of course, the UTMB is a big one, but I would say that the most amazing thing I've done is running for the Sick Kids at the 24 Heures Tremblant. They're raising, like, they're doing the sports even with that fundraising, and they give all the money for, they have three foundations, but mostly for La Fondation Charles Bruno. And I had this amazing opportunity to build the running teams at Cirque du Soleil.
That's where you work.
That's where I work. And so we went there. And instead of just running in relay, I just ran the entire time. And it's very hard for me because it's like running mostly on flat and concrete. And it's different. It's not neural. My system is not used to run on flat. I just go up or down the mountains, you know. So it's been, and in the cold. And this year was really cold. So, and for some reason, I had a logistic problem, and I had passed 8 hours in the cold with no foods and no drink. And but the only idea that I had in my mind was these parents, because I had the chance to meet the parents and the kids, because Cirque is giving show tickets to all of them. And so I had that opportunity, and I had promised I will run the entire time for you. And I was just thinking about, I made a promise. I need to keep it. I need to keep it. And you know, those parents, they wake up in the morning. They have like probably 2 appointments at the hospital. They have to go to work. They still have the grocery to do or the house to clean. And they have all the regular things to do. And they have a sick kids to take care of. And sometimes it's hard. Your sick is destroyed by all the treatment that they have, and you have to stay an amazing person in front of them with courage and all your will. And I was thinking about that and said, well, you have no drink, you have no food, it's cold outside. Well, go forward, keep running, you're not gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
I kept running.
Because you had a reason to run, a reason to do it.
Yeah, I was like, wow, I want to, it's really pure courage these parents have.
Yeah, that's really, it's quite something. Was that the first time you ever did that event?
I did it twice.
Oh,
but this year was really hard, yeah. Because we were running on a layer of ice.
Yeah.
With like, it was like slush, like a blend of water and snow and salt and sand. So it was really muscular. After 20K, I felt like 60.
Wow.
Yeah.
And where do they do it? It's in, when is it? In December?
It's in December. It's December 8th. It's always the same dates, and it's at Mont Tremblant.
Okay, and it's around, like, is it Petit Teint du Nord kind of stuff? Or?
No, we run on the Gulf,
Le Diable?
Oui.
Okay.
On the area where...
The golf course.
The golf course, yeah.
Okay.
And then some people ski, some people run or walk.
Okay, yeah. And they do it in relay, though?
Yeah.
Mostly?
Mostly.
Were you the only one doing it?
We've been three people doing...
The
whole time, yeah.
That's incredible. That's nuts. What's been the most challenging part of being an ultra runner for you?
I would say get to the race fresh. And I still take the UTMB as an example because I think it's a good example. UTMB was at the beginning of the school. So before the, like, leaving the country and get to the race, I needed to do the shopping, the clothes, all the school stuff, and put the names on everything. So, and I have so many things to plan on a personal side for my family before I get to the race. And sometimes I try to plan in advance when I come back from the race because it's going to be too hard. So I try to plan in advance, but I have to relax with that because it's taking a lot of mental energy. And then I try to get to the race at least 4 days before the race.
Okay.
To cool down.
Yeah. Because you do so much leading into it, preparation and stuff.
Yeah. Just going on vacation from my work is something.
Mm. Yeah, no kidding.
I'm taking my emails every day, and I work every day even on vacation.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You bring the laptop with you on the runs too?
No, I don't. No, I don't. I'm okay for that.
So will you be going back next year to UTMB or?
No, I won't. I won't be going there because I've been doing the CCC and the UTMB. So
okay.
I want to try other races. The race that I'm aiming for, the selection is not done. So I don't say the name. I'm like that. I don't make any announcements.
No.
Before it's confirmed. So since the race is not confirmed, I'll keep the name, but it's twice the UTMB.
Really?
Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of preparation. That's why I've started like a really good plan this year.
How long does it take to prepare for something like that? Like if I wanted to, right now I'm doing marathons. So for me, it's 42K. That's it. How long,
yeah.
If I wanted to go and do, you know, 65 or something, but if I wanted to go and do like a, you know, 50 miler, a double marathon.
Well, you can, because you have a good running background, like when you have a marathon background, I do believe that it might be shorter, but the intensity in which you are while you do these 42Ks is such a good training. So that's a really nice background to have. It's just like, it's the challenge is more to keep the intensity low and go far. And then because the elevation gain is something, the trail, the technical skills that you have for trail, then you would have to do more training for that. But I would say that if you want to do 100 miles in September, you can do it.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I can't even think about like that distance. For me, it's like just way too long. I was talking to over breakfast actually this morning with a friend of mine, and he loves ultras. He said, you know, do what you got to do with the marathon for now, and then when you're ready, you'll find the trail after, because the intensity is quite a bit lower.
Yeah,
and you have to go for a much longer distance. It's a completely different state of mind, I guess.
Absolutely, absolutely. You have to accept to be slow sometimes. You have to accept it. And I would say that after, there's a clear breaking point at 100K. For some reason, I don't know if it's, and I'm trying to analyze it. Is it because we always start in the morning and then at the end of the day, when it starts to be dark, we have ran 100K, and then because it's getting dark and we used to go like to go home and to rest because that's our habit, then our mental wants to do that, but you have to keep going, and then you start to struggle more mentally than physically. Indeed, I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
And do you, for those longer distances, you're allowed to have people pace you, or how does that work?
Sometimes you're allowed to have a pacer for the last 20K or 40K. I don't really remember. Mm-hmm. I've used pacers, but I rather be alone. Yeah. It's more, it's like when you have a pacer, it's just a person that can listen to your bad comments, or I feel bad, it's painful there. Or when you're alone, you just shut up. you're alone. Yeah. So you suck it up and you run.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Like you're in your head, you put one foot in front of the other. Like,
well, I have developed this, everything that I'm thinking, if it's a good thing, I keep it. I hook onto it, and I try to make it evolve and time pass. If it's a bad thing, I do like a receptionist. I unplug the wire and I say, sorry, all the lines are busy. call us back in 24 hours, and I plug it down. And I do the move. I actually do the move while I run, and that's it. I just don't want to hear any bad things.
Mm, that's a really good point. That's great. Yeah, the bad, because just a bad frame of mind can really bring you down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You slow down, and then it's going to make you focus on where you feel pain, I feel tired. I would have that. I would eat that. I want to go home. And well, you won't be happy if you don't get to your goal. So you don't. And it's proven. It's, I've read that the amazing book, How Bad Do You Want It? And they explain physically what's happening when you're having bad thoughts. And there's a change in all your chemicals that creates less performance in your muscle. So you better keep having good thoughts if you want to keep having a good performance.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So positivity, just...
Positivity.
As long as you can keep that... Yeah. That frame of mind.
And it's hard sometimes when it's cold, when it's muddy, when sometimes I've never had that before, but it could happen. And I don't take my situation for granted, but a lot of ultra runners have stomach problem, and it stops people from like doing all the kilometers required for the race because they have to quit because they no longer have the ability to feed themselves.
So what do you eat?
I eat the most amazing thing in the world that has saved the world in a war, and it's called potatoes.
That's it?
That's it. Smashed potatoes with salt, and sometimes I put a little bit of tuna.
With the potatoes?
Yeah, and you put that in your thermos, and you eat that. It's easy. I don't want to chew. The mechanics of chewing... can like fall like tamal au coeur.
Mm-hmm.
As when you don't chew, you just swallow. It's perfect.
That's great.
Yeah.
So that's the trick, potato mash.
Well, it's my trick. As we say, we share our tricks, but your recipe is not my recipe. And that's the amazing thing about trails is you have to discover. I would not say trails. I would say ultra trails. You have to discover your recipe, what suits your needs, because we're all different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do you only eat that, or do you eat other? Do you have gels? Do you have?
I have gels, but you know what? Over 34 hours, gels, it's going to be like a lot demanding for your kidneys. It's so packed of nutrients and everything. So you need to have other things. It's not sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Solid food.
That's the best.
Yeah. Fat and solid.
Because I've even had challenges, stomach stuff with when I was doing triathlon in Tromblon.
Of course. Yeah.
Ironman, it's a full day thing.
And it's the same thing. I'm sure these athletes face the same problem with the stomach.
Because you're drinking, especially on the bike, because you drink so much fluid. I'm wondering if, and this is all stuff you need to test, right?
Yeah.
Like before you go out there, you can't.
Yeah, you never try something new. It's the same rules for marathons, triathlons. You never try something new at a race.
Yeah. Except for.
Especially for food.
The Mark Langevin was a guest on this podcast too. He's the trail friend that I was talking to you about. But speaking of nothing new, like I'm my 65K at Harry
Kana. At the Harry Kana.
I wore new shoes because I didn't have, I'm not a trail runner. So I'm like, what do I wear? And it was so muddy and stuff. So I went and bought myself some trail shoes. And I think I wore them for like a warm up, like a 3K or something like that. But then, he was giving me shit leading up because he's like, what are you doing? You can't wear new shoes like on a race, like 65's
a long race.
Yeah.
But I have to admit that when you get to the right shoes, because I did that for UTMB, I bought new shoes and I wore them. But it's shoes that I know my feet just fit in those shoes for some reason. And I have perfect feet with no blister. No, I have all my nails and people often look at my feet and say, what's happening with your feet? They're so perfect.
Right.
But I have the right shoes and the right socks because I think it's a fit together.
No pun intended.
That's it.
You're like the Ultra Cinderella.
Okay, that's a new name. Stop calling myself grandma.
It's a perfect fit. Looking back at everything you've learned, like what would you tell a 20 year old self or version of yourself?
just do the same. Yeah. Just do the same, because I mean, it's all good stuff that is happening to me with that ultra running. Like people, like I'm sponsored by nice company like the North Face. I'm an athlete for them, and then like a lot of athletes would like to have that. Just recently, I've got this Oxytus. They're making bags for ultra. You should see the bags. They're just amazing. They have the technology. All the feature of the bags is just like amazing. They're new on the market in Canada, and they decided to have me in their team. So a lot of good stuff is happening to me, and it's happening because you can handle it, accept it in a good way with the right attitude. I don't think I would have been able at 20 years old to do that. I wasn't focused enough for that.
It takes a certain level of maturity.
Yeah, yeah, of course. So I did what I had to do to get there at the right point, at the right moment in my life. Mm. So just do the same, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, why not? You know, live life with no regrets. And
That's it.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Your journey.
And sometimes it looks bad, but there's always good out of it. Really, and it's something we need to practice too. I had a bad, let's say you go this week, last week was a shitty weather. Sorry about the terms.
It's okay.
It was like...
It was bad.
It was really bad. Yeah. So, but you have training to do and you have to train in that. So how I... So I did what I could, and there's always something good that I gain out of it. Maybe I didn't get the speed because I was running on the ice, but I got something else. And I focus on what I gain rather than what I lose or what I can't achieve.
Awesome. What would you tell somebody else looking to make a big change in their life?
Fix the goal first. Yeah. Because I'm having that experience with one of my best friends. She wants to run and to train, I told her, you have to fix the goal, and all the universe will give you the answers, because she's constantly questioning, but if that, and fix the goal. And then, like, it's going to be natural to make the plan to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And to make the right choice. You don't have to carve out a lot of things to train like that. And you don't have to really train for those distances. Just if you want to give yourself a challenge, you have to be honest also with your lifestyle. But fix the goal and make the plan and just rethink your life in terms of synergy. Because just it takes time for sports, even for sports goal, it takes time. You need to train. And often in a day, there's going to be a tons of reason for not doing the training. And then it's always choice. You have to make a choice. And that's it. And in terms of energy, sometimes when I need to make a choice, I'm always thinking about what's going to be my level of energy after that. Is it good? Is it spreading harmony in my family? Is it like taking all my energy, or I'm going to have energy out of it? And often if I come to the conclusion that it's spreading harmony and it's going to give me energy, I take the choice. I take that path.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm loving patience. Like I've learned that, especially this year and last year, will be focused on running. And patience is such an important thing. And
it's incredible with running.
And it's exactly what you're saying. Like I'm so patient with my running. I'm not. I have the goals in mind. But I'm willing to take the time to get there. And what I'm learning now is, like, how do I convert that same energy to the other aspects? And I think it's interesting when you talk about synergy, because that's kind of a way to connect, almost like you're connecting what you're learning through running into other aspects of your life, because that's fueling your passion.
It is exactly what I'm doing. And just rethink or review or revisit how do you feel when you're tired, but you have to go train. Take the worst situation and analyze all your mental thoughts that are coming. And I'm going, oh no, I'm going to go. Okay, but I'm going to go light on and I'm going to bring the watch on. And then, but you go and after you feel good. Maybe you didn't do your speed. Maybe you didn't get into what was required in that training, but you've done it, right? And then by doing it over and over, it's a direct connection to the other sphere of your life. It's the same thing. I mean, how many times in a year do you feel like doing your dishes?
Like zero.
Like zero, right? Doing the laundry.
Yeah, same thing.
But you just say, you know what? I'll just do it. And then after, I'm going to be playing with my kids or knitting, because I'm knitting, believe it or not.
There you go.
So so you think about what you're gaining and you just do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So yeah, it's that exact same thing. You know, it's like if everything's, that makes other things better, and then it opens up the doors for other possibilities. And that's
it.
Really what it comes down to.
It's the complete opposite than, I don't know if the word is the right word in English, but procrastination.
Yeah. When you procrastinate.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, by doing this, that I don't feel like going training, but I'll go. You just start to be so efficient in everything else.
Yeah.
Because you just do it.
Yeah. Do you ever miss a day or do you?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah. I did. But it's very, it has to be very special. Often in the winter, I miss a day where it's minus 44 with a lot of wind, because the wind is something hard for me to handle. I'm going to miss a day. I'm not crazy. I'm not that crazy. Or if my kids are sick, there's like my kids are my priority. But I don't miss that much in a year.
Mm-hmm. Do you also do strength training and stuff too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. This is very interesting. I used to do have strength training, but not really oriented into running. So I was more creating injuries. Now, last year, I started to do more strength training at Cirque with Gabrielle, which is like, it was really focused on running and it was amazing. So this year we're back into that training. Yeah.
Okay, nice. And you feel like it's making a difference?
It's making a huge difference. But for me, because I have so much to work on. I've never done intervals, speed, power, all these things that I wasn't interested in to work on. Now I'm working on it. And I find it's really helpful for just the regular running.
Yeah. Mm. And you're doing this because, like, do you have a goal in mind? Like, is it just to complete these adventures, or do you go in thinking, you know, I want to compete?
The goal is just to get these things done, but they're so big and I'm so scared. I scare myself. I choose something big enough to be scared. So I train a lot just to make sure I succeed and I pass the line. When I'm in the trail, I'm competitive. Not with other people, but with myself. And if I find myself that I'm too slow or I'm falling or leaning into the dark side, I'm going to push myself to be back on track, positive and powerful.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of running too, is that it's very individual.
I think so. Because we all go get something different out of that. We all do it for our purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have nothing to prove. I'm 44 years old. I really just do it to be a better person, to discover potential that I have inside. It's just I use the running to do that.
Mm-hmm. It's special for sure. It really opens things up. It makes you dig deep and see what's there. You know, it takes you to some scary places that you otherwise may not be able to get to, you know?
No, because you don't want to go in your bad self, right?
Mm.
But these races, they can bring you there. And to face that bad self, well, you change things not to be that bad self.
Right. Yeah. I am asking this question to all my guests now, but what does running mean to you?
Running means, can I say it in French?
Sure.
Épanouissement. How do you say épanouissement?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting. We should Google it. épanouissement, it's something that I've always seen myself like not really physical or performance. And I was, even when I was a lifeguard, you know, to get to this ocean training, people used to tell me, are you too small? You're not heavy enough. The wave will hit you, blah, blah. And I've done it. And I guess I need to show people that you can just do it for the experience and to discover yourself. It's not about, you don't just do sports for the performance, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
It's a fulfillment.
Fulfillment. Okay.
Yeah. So it fills you up with a lot of good stuff that makes you just appreciate what's going on around you. And
that's it. That's how I feel.
Amazing.
When I start my day with my running, I mean, I don't even drink coffee. I'm so energized. I don't have that need. I'm energized and I go through my day and I do all the stuff that I have to do. I work, I take care of the kids, the homeworks, the cooking and with smile. And that's why I can't let it go. I'm hooked on.
That's amazing. So great. Well, where can people find out more about you? And, like, is it through social media? Is it...
As I said, I often... Because it's all about sharing. And I like to share my experience. And I learn something in every race. And it's really important for me to share it. So after a race, I do a post on my Facebook account. Lately, I have opened my Instagram account. And... So I try to manage both, mm-hmm. but it's not very natural for me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I guess. And there's articles also on the web magazine Distance Plus.
Okay.
So they follow. I'm one of the 10 women's athletes they follow for this year. So there's going to be an article released soon on my season. And I guess they're going to do other stuff around that.
And what's the big thing coming up for you this year? What's the...
It's secret. It's coming. I'm going to post.
Okay, nice. But is there something you know about that you can mention?
Oh, yeah. It's a very amazing race. I've looked at the video and I was like, wow, how could it be nicer than that?
Mm-hmm.
It's above 300 kilometers and it's going to be on several days, of course. And it's an adventure. I would not even use the word race. I would say adventure because it's too long and it's going to be the biggest thing I've ever tried.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Excited about it.
Me too. I'm scared.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you again for coming in today. It's a real pleasure talking to you and getting in the mind of a 160K ultra trail runner and you put in on some great performances and I'm sure you'll do that moving forward as well. So thanks again for coming in today to
La
Rundown.
Thanks to you, Justin.
Appreciate it.
Are you already subscribed to La Rundown? Running with WRG and still can't get enough? Sign up to their weekly newsletter and always stay connected. You can learn more about what's happening in the community, hear about exclusive run events, and stay up to date with the podcast. Just go to iamarunner.ca and subscribe. Simple as that. You'll never miss a beat. Thank you for joining us on this episode of La Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Please make sure to visit us at iamarunner.ca. You can also let us know what you think and follow us on Instagram at LaRundown. Now take what you've learned and run with it. La Rundown is a production by WRG Media, recorded in the historic RCA building in downtown Montreal. Produced and recorded by Forrest McKay. Our executive producers, Leslie and Lindsay Woods. Graphics and illustrations created by Ryan Bondi and assisted by Mark Grimberg. Marketing by Jill Garcia and hosted by me, Justin Pugliese.